Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, there is so much conflict in our world today. The people of Maywood, a suburb of Chicago, the Maywoodians, as they like to call themselves, well, they're upset about taxes. They're upset about water prices. They are upset that there is no grocery store in their town. They are upset that their parks, their city parks, are not kept clean. Their city parks are not safe. They are upset about crime. They're upset about shootings. And some of them are leaving to escape. I know. I talked to them this past week. Door by door we went, knock, knock, knock upon their door, and we stood on their steps and said, "What concerns do you have for the village of Maywood?" And then we invited them to a prayer meeting on Thursday on the driveway of one of the residents of Maywood, Pastor Riley, an LCMS pastor who is a pastor in the neighboring town of Forest Park. And then we said, "Now what concerns do you have? What concerns can we pray for right here and right now for you?" Some invited us into their home, and we sat upon the couch, and we talked to them, and then we prayed for them, we prayed with them, we prayed for the community, and then we moved on to the next house all morning, all afternoon, 3 days in a row. We went to laundromats, we paid for laundry, and then we prayed with people. We went to train stations and we handed out water and we prayed with people right then, right there, right now. And we heard all their concerns. We heard all of their conflicts. But you don't have to go to Maywood to know. All you have to do is turn on your television set. And the news will report conflict after conflict. The news will tell you about all the struggles that are going on in this world. The headlines are about violence. They're about hatred. They're about death. They tell all the conflict. I don't know about you, but I cannot help but to feel that somehow it isn't supposed to be like this. Just 6 months ago, we celebrated the birth of the Prince of Peace, where the angels cried out, "Peace on earth," and we sang in all of those Christmas carols about peace. And yet here we are, surrounded by no peace. Conflict between nations, conflict between groups of people, between families, and even conflict within our own families, within our own lives. Did Jesus come to bring peace to all of this mess? Isn't that what the angel said? Peace on earth? When do I get to stop fighting? When do I get to stop struggling? Where's my peace? Can't Calgon just take me away? Here's where the sword cuts. The reality is that we all like peace, even when it's false. Some see peace as comfortable, easygoing. I have everything I could possibly need. For no one likes to come to a home where people are constantly arguing, where the parents are always fighting, and it forces you to constantly be on edge, ready for the war to break out at any moment. For that is just exhausting. And so we chase after peace. Even if it means ignoring the things that we know we shouldn't. Some see peace as safety. when things change, it unsettles us. This is what keeps the young woman trapped in an abusive relationship, afraid to stay, afraid to go. She knows it's wrong and broken and unhealthy, but it's familiar and it's safe in its own way. And so we refuse to change, even knowing that what exists is killing us. Some see peace as comfort. Some see peace as safety. And comfort and safety were on my mind every day this past week as we slept in hot rooms and had cold showers. Comfort was not the Drury Inn. And safety was on my mind as we were out on the streets. It was just Memorial Day weekend that there was 46 shootings in Chicago that one weekend alone. But safety and comfort, that's not really peace, is it? Oh, it looks like peace, but it's fake. And fake peace comes with a cost. Fake peace even brings death. So get this. As long as our relationship with God is primarily about concealing our sin from Him, from others, from ourselves, we cannot find real peace. Jesus came not to bring peace, but a sword. Real peace is the ancient Hebrew idea of shalom. Shalom is about having a restored relationship. Shalom is about wholeness in mind and body and relationships with other people and in our relationship with God. And God knows that true shalom begins by dealing with the broken relationships that divide us from Him and isolate us from one another. That's why Jesus says, "Don't think I came to bring peace, but a sword." He's coming to cut through the false peace, the lies, to give shalom. Taking a stand brings a sword. Speaking the truth will bring you conflict with the lies of this world. Don't believe me? Just try it. Say to a group of people, just say that life is precious and sacred from conception all the way till natural death. Say that human sexuality is a gift of God that is to be enjoyed only in the context of marriage. Sex is to be in marriage and in marriage alone, between one man and one woman who are united in holy matrimony by our Lord and Savior. Or proclaim that there's an absolute truth, capital T truth, an absolute right and an absolute wrong. That there are actions that bring joy and life, and that there are actions that bring death and destruction. Mention any one of these points. Bring up any one of these points at your next family reunion. Go out and stand at the mall and bring up these points, and you are going to see sparks fly. Our world is comfortable with their lies. But for real peace to take root, the lies must first be challenged and revealed for what they are. Here's where the sword cuts, that conflict, that sword. And here's what it brings. It brings true peace, shalom. We all have done things we shouldn't have. And we have said things we know we shouldn't have. And sometimes the things that own us are because we didn't act, didn't do that thing we should have, or that moment when we should have spoken and yet we remained silent. There is simply no peace in our world, our relationships, and in ourselves. For we, you and I, we even extend that to our thoughts about God. How could God love someone as broken as I am? You see, that's the greatest lie of all. And I heard it over and over again this past week at You Can Do. And you know what? It wasn't out on the streets in Maywood. It was there in the church with the 280 people that came together from 11 different LCMS churches, youth and adults who were regularly confessing that they knew they weren't good enough. And they weren't sure that God loved them. And I suspect some of you here today, if you're not thinking it now, you thought it at some point in your life. Somehow we have done too much or said too little for God to love us. That somehow we have pushed it one too many times, and that this time there can't be peace. That we are too fundamentally broken to even begin to make peace with God. And the real problem is that there's truth in that. We can't make peace with God. We try, but yet we fall far too short. And so some of us settle for that peace, safety, comfort, or we just ignore the whole thing. But you see, that's not really peace at all. Here's where the sword cuts. God loves us too much to leave us with a false peace. So instead, God makes real peace with us. He sent his son Jesus into this world of skinned knees and broken hearts, not just to bring a sword, but to cut through that false peace that this world seeks and to establish real shalom with us. The son, Christ Jesus, fell upon that sword, took the nails, the spear, the cross, and the death that comes with it, to take upon himself all the reasons that we are at anything but at peace with God. And now he calls us by name in baptism. And week after week, he feeds us with Christ's body broken and blood poured out. We do not have to be good enough, worthy enough, smart enough, or able enough to make peace with God. Because God has already made peace with us. So now when we confront the lies, something remarkable happens. We exchange false peace for the shalom that Christ gives, for the peace that comes in Christ alone. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.